In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. Some people also call today's feast Candlemas, and others still call it the purification of St. Mary the Virgin. Whatever we call it, when a feast day like today has multiple names, you can be assured that something special is going on. Luke tells us that it was time for Joseph and Mary to leave Bethlehem and to go to Jerusalem, which was a few hours' walk. According to Jewish custom, Mary, like all women, would have gone for her ritual purification 40 days after giving birth, which is why today's feast falls on the 40th day of Christmas. So if you're like me and have not put away all your Christmas decorations, fear not, you can do it this evening. I can't imagine there's much else going on today. While in Jerusalem at the temple for Mary's purification by offering a pair of turtle doves or pigeons, Mary and Joseph also present Jesus in the temple as their firstborn son. It was required by Jewish law that the firstborn male be given to the temple for priestly service. However, if parents were from a non-priestly family, if they wanted to, they could essentially buy back their sons from this duty, and it could be done for 5 silver shekels. Since Mary is from the royal tribe of Judah and not the priestly tribe of Aaron, by Jewish law, Mary and Joseph must buy Jesus back from priestly service in the temple. Luke's gospel shows us that on the one hand, Joseph and Mary are devout in their faith and dutiful to Jewish laws and customs. And simultaneously, on the other hand, in the larger framework of salvation history, Luke shows us that Mary and Joseph are willing supporters of God's divine purpose in Jesus Christ, whom Simeon will call the light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. The Holy Spirit has revealed to Simeon that he will not die until he has seen the Lord's Messiah. As Jesus and his parents enter the temple, Simeon was led there also and immediately recognizes Jesus as that Messiah. Simeon took the young Jesus in his arms and says, "Master, you are now dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel." Here in this oracle-like song of praise, Simeon recognizes that Jesus is the long-awaited Savior, and that this Savior is the light to a very dark world. Simeon's song teaches us that salvation is not our own doing, but the very will of God. It also teaches us that God's salvation is universal in scope. It's for everyone in the world. He's saying that the good news of Jesus Christ is not limited to any one group. Also, Simeon teaches us that God's delivery of salvation brings glory to Israel, and not as a privileged possessor of God's favor, but rather as God's chosen people through whom God has worked to bring forth salvation through Jesus. Simeon blesses the Holy Family and says something rather eerie to Mary when he says, "This child is destined for the rising and falling of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." At Christmas, we joyfully proclaim Christ's birth, and everything always seems so happy and cheery. As human beings, we know life isn't always like that. And as Christians, we know the rest of Jesus' story. We know that Jesus goes on to proclaim a profound message of God's love and God's coming kingdom that eventually results in his crucifixion, which is what Simeon foretells when he says to Mary, "A sword shall pierce your own soul too." Though seemingly silent, we also see Anna, a prophet, who witnesses all of this. She is a widow who has basically lived in the temple praying and fasting since the untimely death of her husband. Anna was among the first evangelists, praising God and speaking about the child to everyone she encountered, all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. There's a wonderful depiction of the presentation in a Romanesque book in France from the middle of the 11th century, which has very pious-looking figures, as you could imagine. Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Jesus, all standing with their hands together at the temple. But on the far right of this image, you see Anna with her hands outstretched and up in the air proclaiming the Jesus to the world. It's an amazing depiction. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to be like Anna and share his good news with everyone with open and outstretched arms. The great irony here in this whole story of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, of course, is that Mary and Joseph go dutifully to pay the ransom to redeem their son, who himself is the redeemer of the world. They redeem him from a lifetime of service as a priest to the Lord, when he has come as the great high priest who offers the one perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. It only costs Joseph 5 silver shekels, but for Jesus, it is the price of his very life. By the payment of the 5 silver shekels, the world's Redeemer is redeemed. This image foreshadows the great mystery, the greatest mystery of all. Just as the priest hands the infant back to Joseph, returning him to the life of his earthly family, so having paid the price for our redemption on the cross, Jesus returns from the tomb as the bearer of eternal life for all who will become the new family in the kingdom of God. In this season of Epiphany, we now celebrate that Jesus has been revealed to us as the light of the world and the glory of his people. All of the stories we hear how Jesus has come to us and is revealed as the Son of God. And one of the major themes then is light, as seen in the star which leads the Magi to Bethlehem, and Simeon seeing Jesus as the light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. However, today we also see a darker side of the Christmas story. We hear in Simeon's words to Mary about how a sword will pierce her own soul, and how an understanding that God's faithful and loving purposes will be opposed by many, and that this will be crushing to Mary and all who know Jesus as the light of the world. This time for us in Epiphany is a liminal space. As Christians on this side of Easter, we know the full story. This Feast of Candlemas hovers in the darkness of midwinter between the birth of Jesus and his death. It's fitting and appropriate then that this feast, which celebrates the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus, should also include the celebration of Jesus as the light of the world. Christ is the light. As Christians, we come together in his name to bear his light to this world. And with his light and his love shining within us, his light is magnified and spread far and wide. Saint Sophronius, a 7th century bishop of Jerusalem, in a sermon once said, "Everyone should be eager to join the procession and to carry a light. Our lighted candles are a sign of the divine splendor of the one who comes to expel the dark shadows of evil and to make the whole universe radiant with the brilliance of his eternal light. Our candles also show how bright our souls should be when we go to meet Christ. So let us hasten together to meet our God." In the candles of our hearts burns the fire of God's love, a symbol of the living sacrifice of our lives. Over the course of our own lifetime, our own candles burn down day by day. And one day, another candle, the Paschal candle, will burn over our own coffins, declaring by its resurrection light that each of us is but wax, being consumed by the incredible flame of love that is God's own self, melted not into oblivion, but into the freedom of attaining our perfection and deepest longings. A candle is a temporal thing, fulfilling its function of radiance and warmth at the cost of its own vanishing. Even so, the fire that consumes it bears love's name and does love's work. Whatever is offered up shall receive its true being, and whatever is lost will be found anew. May the fire of God's love make us ready to be purified from sin, that in our own day we may be presented in holiness and righteousness, that we may behold God face to face. Let us pray. O light of all the earth, thy children wait for thee. Come to thy temples here, that we from sin set free, before thy Father's face, may all presented be. Amen.